Anyway, moving on from there, let's talk about what I need to help you guys out with today. Mark emailed me, and this is what he said. I have about 12 Jersey Giant hens that I've had for two... hold on, let me back up there. Bottom line up front, there has to be a better way to identify fertilized eggs. What can I do to ensure chicken eggs are not fertilized before they're stored and eaten? If you have a rooster, you're not going to do that. We'll go through some of Mark's thoughts here on that. I have had 12 Jersey Giant hens for 2 to 3 years and have been blessed with a surplus of eggs each year. Understanding that my hens were in their last real egg-laying cycle, I got a barred rock rooster and taught him not to be a dick. That's a good way to be. I do not incubate eggs. I prefer to let nature manage the process, but I would still like to collect the unfertilized ones. I immediately stopped collecting eggs, which means I have a bunch of piles in nests. I have 2 chickens, so at least nature knows what they have to do. Not wanting to eat fertilized eggs, I looked into candling and attempted, but it cracked 1 egg. This morning, there was not only fertilized, it appeared further along in the process. It is not so difficult to candle, but I guess you need to wait 7 days. If I do that to determine the egg is fertilized, I can't assume I cannot just stick it back in the nest. Fortunately, even broody Jersey Giants seem to be very gentle birds. Flock management. So do I need more than one rooster, and I want to have confidence the eggs are collected are unfertilized? I could conceivably split young hens from the rooster, assuming, of course, that I get some hens. I'm dissatisfied with my egg collection practices, which, since the rooster's arrival, have resulted in many wasted eggs. I may try to build another coop, assuming my rooster buddy and my hens breed enough to provide me with 3 or 4 hens. I think maybe the easiest path would be to eliminate the rooster and remaining hens from the flock. Any related suggestions are greatly appreciated, Mark. Okay, so for some reason, Mark's worried about fertilized eggs. And most homesteaders would tell you, if you're going to keep roosters, just stop even using the term. And assume that all your eggs are fertilized. And most of them probably are. Most of them probably are. We've had, you know, rooster chicken ratios as high as 12 to 1. And I would still say when I did put eggs in an incubator, you know, I put 32 eggs in an incubator, get 31 hatch. Roosters get around and they get around well. And you might get some eggs that are bad eggs. And eventually a broody hen will determine that egg is bad and she'll push it out of the nest herself. So I don't know why you're opposed to eating fertilized eggs. I don't understand that rationale at all, other than maybe there's some sort of religious connotation. If that's the case, then you need to figure out how to basically separate hens that don't get bred, because you're going to be the vast majority are fertilized. The good news is fertilized eggs perform exactly the same way as a non-fertilized egg does in storage. If you take an egg and you set it on your countertop for 10 days, you might have enough development that when you candle it, you can see a little dark spot. That's about it. If you put eggs in a refrigerator, you're not even going to get that. And so the key with egg management when you have breeding birds and broody birds is to collect all the new eggs every day. And don't leave any eggs except the ones you want to let one of your girls brood for you, okay, once she goes brooding. So the way we've always done this, and I'll explain where it becomes a problem, by the way. Usually the case is that that brooding bird is not laying any eggs. Once she sits, she's done. Chickens, ducks, etc., they'll lay eggs, and they'll store them up until they get enough to brood, and they actually stop laying eggs because nature knows what she's doing. And you don't want, like, this week 5 eggs hatch, next week 7 eggs hatch, next week 3 more eggs hatch. You want all of those eggs to hatch pretty close to each other. So chickens and other birds will lay eggs in a nest until they get enough, and then they will sit. What happens is her girlfriends are like, oh, look, Henrietta's going to sit on eggs. I know. I'll add eggs. I'll pop eggs on. Sometimes they'll sit right next to each other and literally pop an egg under there. Sometimes they'll come in as relief, like when she needs to go out. Like a lot of times your broodies, they'll leave once or twice a day, and they'll go get a little drink or something, and they come back. Well, what will happen is your other girls will see that opportunity. They'll go in there and add eggs. So you're constantly adding eggs, and that can lead to being completely out of sync with what should be going on. And now you have this giant pile of eggs. Some are fertile, some are not. But the bigger problem is they're all off-timed, and often they'll lay so many eggs that the girl sitting can't even cover them all. So there's a very simple solution to this. It's a 50-cent marker called a Sharpie. And all we do is when we get a girl and we know she's committed to going broody and we're willing to let her go broody, we'll basically give her the eggs that we want her to hatch. Unless the, if she's built a nice nest, she's got a lot of eggs, and she's good, that's fine. But what we'll often do is we will take eggs from her and take all the eggs, because we collect eggs every day. And then we'll decide, okay, if she's going to go broody, we'll give her some fake eggs to keep her there for a day or two. And we'll collect eggs. And then we'll have, let's say we want 10 eggs. We'll give her those 10 eggs. When we do, we'll put dots on them with the Sharpie, kind of all around, like four-sided dots. That's all you need, a little dot. Won't hurt anything. Won't mess up the blem. You put them back under the bird. And so then every day when you go collect eggs from that point on, you pick your broodie up and you look. And if you had 10 eggs, there should be 10 eggs there. And if there's more than 10 eggs, you look for the ones without the dots and you pick those up and you put the bird back on them. That's it. There is zero concern about collecting fertilized eggs unless you have some ethical dilemma with it. You're not going to take an egg and put it in the refrigerator that was collected the day that it was laid. And, you know, 2 weeks later when you crack it, or a month later even if you crack it, you're going to find a baby chicken in it. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. Viability of eggs at, like, let's say room temperature where they're not going to develop, you know, again, other than you might get to where you have that little dark spot in there, is generally considered 10 days. So when we're collecting eggs for a broody or for an incubation, that's kind of our benchmark. I've seen it 14 days and 100% hatch, right? I've had people tell me they've done it as long as 20 days, but kind of the industry standard practice, like sort of the homesteader standard practice, is about a 10-day. That's how long you can save up eggs, and then when you put those in the incubator, you'll see. I know you don't use an incubator, but if you did, if it's like, say, ducks, and they're going to hatch at 27 days, those eggs will 100% hatch within 24 hours of each other. Same with chickens at 21 days. Quail, I think it's 18 days. As long as you manage your things that way. So it's instead of trying to identify the fertilized eggs, what you want to do is identify the eggs that were all available to that bird at one time. You probably have a mess on your hands now, definitely. Assuming that the eggs that are in place are not exceeding the size of the chicken's ass and are not like spilling out all over the place, you could mark all of them that you have now and begin this practice. And that's probably what I would do. And by, again, when you do mark them, you want to mark them kind of on all sides so that you only really handle the new eggs and you don't touch her eggs and you let her control when they're turned and how they're turned. Once in a while is okay if you need to. If you pick one up and you didn't see the mark and there's the mark, just put it back the way you found it. It'll be fine. But we really don't want to be touching those eggs on a daily basis. And what you'll generally find is if she gets close to where those guys are starting to make some noise back to her and talk to her from inside, she's going to not get up anymore. She's not going to leave that nest at all. She'll stay, like, she'll go in her own lockdown mode for about 48 hours and do without. And she's not going to let other birds in there with her, most likely, during that last phase. So if you keep records, you should know, chicken 21 days from that set, that when you're at about 18, 19 days out, leave her alone. Don't bother her. Let her be in lockdown mama mode. And when she hatches them, if there's a couple eggs under there, they're probably not developed enough to matter. You could just discard them. You could feed them to the dog. If you have another girl grading called brood, you could certainly give her those. But I wouldn't worry too much about the one or two that might end up under her at the very end. That's it. I just, again, I've actually never heard anybody in all these years ask me about worrying about the eggs being fertilized. But your problem that you're having, the egg management problem, is very common, and it's the easiest way we came up with to solve the problem. And I have to say, it was my wife's idea. I'm pretty sure other people do it too, though, because it's pretty obvious when you think about it. Anyway, with that, I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I was glad that I was able to get you at least two new shows this week, even though there's a lot of rewinds and flashbacks. A reminder, there'll be a Friday flashback like every Friday tomorrow, and then Monday there will be one more rewind as I am on my way back from Tennessee. Anyway, guys, take care. And I want to say something here real quick at the end. It seems like when these major disasters hit, that's always when I'm traveling. And therefore, as they're occurring, I don't really get to cover them. And, of course, I'm talking about the hurricane that jacked up Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas, and Tennessee with flooding and all kinds of problems. And part of that also, though, is other than, like, media reporting on it, like, what's actually happening, I don't like to, right when a hurricane happens, start telling people all the things that they should have done to be prepared while they're still digging out, while they're still waiting for the water to recede from their house. Like, I don't think that's the time to be telling people, hey, you should have backup power, you should have gas, you should have food, because there are people, like, stuck right now, and they 2 days are out of food. They have, I don't know how people who live in a place where you can be cut off, because most of this stuff is up in the mountains and what have you, only have 2 days worth of food. I don't even understand it. But I don't think that lady that I read the article on needs to hear that from me right now or anybody in a similar situation. There'll be plenty of time for an after-action review of everything that went down. And we will definitely use it for a future show about what we can glean from, what we can learn from, what really happened to people. That's the best way to know how to prepare. If something happened before, it can happen again. I did a show a long, long time ago, back in 2008, called The Missed Lessons of Hurricane Katrina. We'll probably have something similar with this storm, because there's a lot of missed lessons here. And a lot of the government BS is going on again with telling people they can't carry a gun or something at a time when they most need a gun, by the way. I'm just saying, Florida, do better. Though it's not a state policy, it is local jurisdictions that are doing this BS. In any event, I wanted to acknowledge it, you know, and honestly, everything else you've heard this week, other than the show that I'll be doing tomorrow, which was Tuesday for you, with Nicole, is before the fact. I had all of this prepared before the storm actually hit. So I haven't really had an opportunity to talk to you about it, and I didn't want, as long as I'm gone this week, I didn't want to not say anything. So we will be talking about it in the future again. With that, enjoy your rewind on Monday and your flashback tomorrow, and I'll try to keep my head in sync with what days are what as I'm doing a Thursday show on a Monday. Anyway, guys, I'll be back and re-energized, hopefully, after visiting with some really cool people at Self-Reliance Festival on Tuesday.